Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:07 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:07 p.m. on the West Coast, and you're tuning into the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, and yes, I am late. Yes, I'm late, but there's a good reason, and I'm going to open up the mic to my co-host, because I know they're going to say, well, why the hell are you late? Well, you know, shit happens, which I had let Janet know I was dealing with some issues with my phone provider. And I've really tried my best not to be rude. You know, sometimes, you know, when they try to give you that same speech and you already know that shit, you be like, I've heard this shit before. How come you keep repeating it? I don't want to hear it again. You're pissing me off. Knowing me, I'll be like, hey, stop right there. Don't give me no excuses. Give me results. Don't give me no excuses. Give me results. So that's a different story, because I had an issue here with my phone provider, and that's how come I'm late. But we got it taken care of, and they're going to have to take care of me soon. Otherwise, we're going to move on to another location. Opening up the mic right now to the lady of the house, my co-host, who's been here in my corner for many of years, and I truly appreciate her for doing all the research on a lot of the topics. Please welcome to the show, Janet Hawkins. I'm sorry, Janet Hawkins. Hawkins David. I'm going to say that. I think I'm missing one, right, Janet? Hello, my sister. Your mic is open. You there? Okay, I hit her mic.
Well, I'm sorry.
She didn't speak.
Yeah.
There she is.
I'm unmuted.
Michael.
Okay, Janet Pollock, Kevin Davis. How are you doing?
I was hoping you didn't remember. Michael, I was wondering why we had such a long intro. That's 7 minutes.
Well, you know, I told you earlier the issue I had. I told you the issue. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I told you. I talked to you before we went on air about the issue that I was having with my provider, and I'm going to make some changes on that. But how are you doing this crazy Saturday in the ATL?
I'm doing fine, except for I just found out this morning Tracy Braxton died from esophagus cancer.
Tracy Braxton?
Mm-hmm. Tamar
That's
and
the
Tony.
Sister?
No,
right. Is that the
knee baby. Knee baby.
Okay. Okay.
Tamar
is
after her. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No,
she
I didn't know about
cancer.
That. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, you know, sometimes things, or sometimes just people in general, they have an illness and we just don't know. You know, it could be a celebrity, it could be a family member. We just don't know. And a lot of times they don't want us to know, right? I mean, that's just normal because they don't want you
for
to
a year.
Right, right. Well, we have to look into that. Let me open up the mics of all the other co-hosts. We also have the law enforcement is in the house, y'all. And I'm sorry that I'm being scheduled, but I'm trying to pick up on time, okay? So we have the one and only Officer Crenshaw in the house. What's up, my brother? Happy Saturday.
Hey, Crenshaw. Hey. How y'all doing today?
Good, and how are you?
Outstanding. I'm going to try to hang with you guys the whole show this time. I might be here for an hour, but, you know, no complaints, full of prayers.
Amen.
Fantastic. Amen. Amen. Right. And I have to go down the board, you guys. So let me open up everybody's mic. I do believe this is Cotton KC Kimball.
Hey, Cotton. Hey, I swear I'm going to need to get that on my answer machine.
So when people call you, I'm going to be like, you have called the number two, Ken C, or Casey, I'm sorry, Casey Kimball. Is that what you mean?
In the building. Man, let me just say, Janet, I was over here bawling like a big, like she was my sister. I promise you. Lady Justice was like, my best friend, she was like, you okay? I said, Tracy Braxton is not with us anymore.
That's right.
I'm over here hurt. My heart is hurting.
Okay, well, look, you know what? We'll try to do some research on that because it is breaking news. And as you all know, we're a variety show. We try to keep it what's going on. We do have a lot of things on the docket. I will look at, you know, what we need to really talk about. But if you guys can pull up anything that you have, because this is the first that I'm hearing of it, okay? So for all the listeners that are in the chat room or on the internet, this is breaking news, at least to me, and I'm sure with many of our co-hosts. And if you're finding it out for the first time, we're going to right now take a look and see what information we can find out. So you guys do your research, and we'll go ahead and tap on that during the show. Let me open up more of the mics of the co-hosts. You know, all the way from Los Angeles, California, and I'm very jealous because he's in California, which never gets below 70 degrees unless you're in the mountains. And that would be my brother, Tynan. Michael, you starting some shit now. Ship! Tynan, you there? Here he comes. There he is. Tynan, you there?
Tynan didn't get the memo.
He didn't get the memo. I opened up his mic. He waved. Okay.
Maybe he walked away for a second.
Yeah, that's possible. That's always possible. Okay, so you guys, I'm sorry again for being a little late, but let's get to, as I said, you guys, do go ahead and pull up the information on...
I have it.
Brass. Okay, well, Janet, go ahead and share that.
Well, they said that she had been battling esophagus cancer for a year, you know, going through treatments and everything. And she finally was overcome with it this morning. She died when the snow was falling.
Yeah.
They said,
mm-hmm.
You know, and she's truly going to be missed. She was on missed. She was on Family Braxton Family Values, and she's also starred in a few other shows as I guess guest appearances and things like that. She was backup singer for Tony, but she was also, she had her own album out, and she had a hit single, I think it was.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm.
She also was on the Johnny Simpson show for a little while, too.
Right, right. Yeah, so I know it's going to be, I know it's,
okay,
it's sad.
So,
I mean.
Okay, so this is, I'm sorry, is this Trina?
No,
Tracy.
This is Tom, Tracy.
Tracy.
Tracy. The one
okay.
that, the knee baby.
Okay,
the one
okay.
that, second to Tamar, next to Tamar.
Yeah, the hot-headed one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so let me go ahead and pull this up on my end. It says here that Tracy Belton dies at age 50 while following cancer battle. The sister of singer Tony Braxton and star of the hit family reality show Braxton Family Values passed away after battling cancer in the esophagus, according to her family. Now, if you scroll down more, and I'm looking at her photo. Yeah, she's a very pretty woman, colorful hair.
Gorgeous.
Photo that they said.
She always had colorful hair.
According to her family, Braxton had been battling cancer in the esophagus. This is a quote. We have come to a time where we must inform the public that after a year of privately undergoing a series of treatment for esophageal cancer, our beloved Tracy Braxton has gone on to glory, her husband, Kevin Surratt, said in a statement to NBC News. Braxton's sisters, mother, and friends were by her side when she passed, her publicist had said. She also spent her last year in hospice. Quote, when I heard the news about my mother being sick, first thing she said was, I'm going to fight and beat this, her son, Kevin Surratt Jr., said in an Instagram post Saturday. She fought to the end, and today she's at peace. I love my mother forever, and this hurts so much, but I'm at peace knowing she isn't in pain anymore, he added. I love you, Mom. I'm going to miss you. And as I scroll down, Braxton's sister, Grammy Award-winning artist Toni Braxton, also posted a tribute on Instagram. Quote, Tracy passed this morning as the snow was falling. Our angel is now a snowflake, she said Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that you respect our privacy as we plan to send her home with love, celebrating her life. And then I'm looking at photos of the family and the sisters. A little more information before I pass it on to the rest of you. Born in 1971, Braxton was known for her roles films like Sinners Wanted and Chow, as well as the stage play There's a Stranger in My House. Wow, that sounds familiar, right? That was a song. But she was perhaps best known for her appearance in the family's reality show, TV show Braxton Family Values, alongside her siblings, Tony, Tawanda, Trina, Tamar, and Michael. I didn't remember Michael. I guess that's the brother, you know, but I was not a follower of the show. She also recorded the hit song, It Was Called, in 2014, which peaked at number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100. That's pretty impressive. She also recorded the song Broken Things, 4 years later with her sisters, Tony, Tawanda, and Trina. In addition to being a performer and entertainer, Baxson contributed much of her adult life to social work for children with disabilities, according to her website. Charities and nonprofit organizations helping women and children facing health and social challenges. Braxton is survived by her husband, son, siblings, and mother. Wow. Pretty deep. Yeah, I'm just finding this out. That's pretty deep, you guys.
Yeah. It's very so. For those who are not, if you're not familiar with esophagus, because my cousin had, she had a cancer in her esophagus and in her stomach. And so what happens is, hold on 1 second.
Okay, we'll go right ahead.
So what happens is in the esophagus, you can't eat anything. It won't stay on your stomach. It, like my cousin could eat a grape and she would throw it back up because she could not hold in water. She couldn't hold water, nothing. So if she didn't die from the cancer, she was going to die from starvation anyway. Probably why we didn't know about Tracy, because she wasn't going to, she probably didn't look herself anymore. Because literally my cousin was but just skin and bone when she passed. Just skin and bone. And it's not a good, it's not a way you want to see any family member go.
No.
But I can, that's why I said my heart goes out, because I can only, I've been there. I've walked those shoes, so I understand the hurt in watching somebody just, all you can do is watch them die.
I had my younger sister pass recently, last year, from cancer, but it had metastasized, so it was lung, liver, and pancreas. And she was weighing like 165, and when she passed, she was maybe weighing 165. She ended up weighing 100 and maybe about 50 pounds when she died.
Yeah.
And she really didn't want anybody to see her like that, so she wouldn't let me, come be with her at the end.
It's a thing to watch. Like my uncle's going through cancer right now, so I'm thankful that he's not in the position of other people, because he's still at home and moving around, and he hasn't had to have any surgery. So I tell people to be thankful, because it could be worse. My cousin, unfortunately, her situation was a lot worse, and we couldn't do anything for her but watch her, wait for her to pass. We was at hospice waiting for her. I mean, it was tough. I just say that it was very hard.
Well, there's really nothing. I mean, I saw my dad die. I was the only one in the room when my dad died. I was the only one in the room. The family was there. They went to get something to eat, but I stayed there and I saw my dad die. My ex-girlfriend, we all watched her dad die. We saw him take his and heard him take his last breath. And that's something when you actually hear a person's last breath. That's something you'll never forget. And trust me,
my niece who just died, she was transitioning for over a week. They passed,
right.
But you could hear the rattle in her.
But that's my point, is that where when you're there and you actually experience that this is their last breath. I want to go ahead and open the mic of another co-host, which I already introduced, but I'm going to do it again. Welcome to the show, Mike. You about to start some shit now. You're messing them folks up now. He says, now, time and ship. What's up, my brother in L.A., Los Angeles, California?
Man. Hey, Janet, Mike, how y'all doing? I'm just feeding my face, that's all.
You're feeding your face.
On,
Every time you feed your face.
No,
hey,
no.
Man,
every time Tony comes in, I guess we you come on when it's dinner time. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change.
But
from now on, we're going to wait until Timon is finished eating before we start talking.
Well, actually, Mike,
we're going to start the show.
I've been on your show.
I've seen you.
Actually, 2:58.
I see. You didn't come on until
3:07.
Yep, you're right. I have to take the blame on
this. I had a call come in that I had to take, and then that's why I was – so I had you on hold.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I agree. I take the blame. Okay, so let's move forward because I don't want to get behind schedule. Janet, you got your information in your board up, so I'm glad to have everybody here. Let's talk about politics. Janet, you got your information up and your board up. Okay, so – I got to go to mine, and you know what's going on in this political world is crazy, because here you got Russia and Ukraine at war. You got President Biden saying, "Hey, look, we're going to do this. We're going to put some sanctions. We're going to make it tougher." There's people who are saying, "Yeah, Biden's a pussy. He ain't doing nothing. He ain't going to do nothing. This and the other, right?" Okay, but keep in mind, we have to understand this. There's only so much that the United States can do because the fact of, and keep in mind, if you're not talking, put yourself on mute. Keep the background noise away, and I'm hearing a lot of background noise. Please put yourself on mute. Thank you. I don't want to have to search down who's doing it. Here's the thing is that where, okay, so, lost my train of thought. Okay, so we don't want World War III, but keep in mind, we already talked about this, is that where Ukraine is not part of NATO. So no individuals or countries who are part of NATO can actually go in there and help Ukraine, right? We understand that. Am I right? So we understand
right. What
Putin did. He took advantage of a weak country that has no backing. Can they get backing now? Well, in a emergency session, they can say, "Yeah, we'll go ahead and back them now," but it's too late at this point. So let's look at it this way. Donald Trump was recently on a show, and I wish I could have got the segment recorded, which I already shared with Janet. What I want to do is start taking clips of what individuals say and play it on our show, which we will do. Donald Trump said this would never have happened if he was still president. Now, I'm going to give you a little information of what I heard. He said this Sean Hannity's show. But I got to give Sean Hannity a lot of credit. He pushed Donald Trump,
and said,
"Well, you said that had this country did this, he would definitely do this. Did you do the same thing to Vladimir Putin?" But Donald Trump dodged the question. He never said he would have done the same thing. He dodged it big time. Okay? He dodged it. Sean Hannity came back again and asked the same question about a different dictator. And what did Donald Trump do? He dodged it. Janet, pull up the information that you told us about or that you shared with me about the possibility that Donald Trump may be indicted.
Oh, okay. You kind of threw me off, Mike. I thought you were going to talk about Sean Hannity. The article. Okay, I'll pull that up.
Well, let's go with that article first. I'm sorry. I don't want to change gears too quickly. But the article, go ahead and go with that because, you know, I'm having issues on my end, but I'm trying to pull it up.
Is it the one with Sean Hannity or the one about him being indicted?
The one with Sean Hannity. Let's go with that. Hannity. Let's go with that.
Well, give me a second.
And then we'll move forward.
Trying to pull it up, Mike.
Okay. Okay, that's no problem. I'm sure everybody's patient. because I want to hear everybody's response to what was said.
It's coming. Sorry. I had to get to it. Okay. Okay, despite Hannity's, this is from Vanity Fair. Despite Hannity's best efforts, Trump's mouth is incapable of forming the words Vladimir Putin is evil. So it says that as you've no doubt heard by now, Donald Trump has spent the last several weeks slavishly praising Vladimir Putin, despite the Russian president's decision to wage an unprovoked, unjustified war in Ukraine. Aside from Trump's namesake, who claims the ass-kicking is a tactical game of psychological warfare, most of the former president's allies seem to understand just morally, not just morally, but politically, as 86% of Americans view Putin is very unfavorably, according to a recent poll. So in an interview on Thursday night, Fox News host Sean Hannity went with a new tack, trying everything in his power to put the words Putin is evil and I understand this into Trump's mouth. You see what is going on with Vladimir Putin, Hannity started, slowly laying things out for Trump, like one would for a child. He invaded a sovereign country. You see that a maternity hospital was hit yesterday. You see that entire neighborhoods have been leveled. You showed some images, and there was a mass grave of about 70 people. We have seen dead bodies of men, women, and children in the streets of Ukraine. What is your reaction to what you're seeing? Trump responded by calling the situation sad, but crucially, he said he laid no blame on the head of his favorite dictator, of the Russian president. All Trump had to say was, I know him well, and this was not something that was going to happen at all on my watch. That's all he would say. So Hannity tried again. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm going to get back to the issue of why Putin wouldn't do it if you're president, he said. You came under some fire when you said that Vladimir Putin is very smart. I think I know you a little bit better than that, better than most people in the media. And I think you also recognize his evil. He's evil. Do you not? Literally, all Trump had to do there was say yes, or yes, I do, or yes, he is. But Trump, of course, didn't do that. Instead, he answered the question indirectly, and when the P word did come up, it was to say that all this invading and civilian killing was somehow out of character for him. This doesn't seem to be the same Putin I was dealing with, Trump said. But I will tell you, he wouldn't have changed if I were dealing with him. He would have changed. At this point, Hannity tried a new hilarious tact, one based on the idea that Trump's affection for dictators is all part of a bigger strategy. I've known you well for over 25 years, the Fox host said. You said that Vladimir Putin is smart. We've had many conversations. You've also quoted to me that the dictator for China, I don't know his name, in the art of war, he always talks about the art of war. Keep your friends close and you're closer. Is that how you viewed Vladimir? Did you view Vladimir Putin and people like the president with a Jinping of China or Kim Jong-un? Of Korea and the Iranian person. He said, as enemies that you needed to keep close. Hannity was practically serving up a soundbite he wanted on a silver platter for Trump, but Trump wouldn't bite in reference to the art of war.
Okay, so I want to stop that for a moment there, Janet, because you said a lot there.
or where, and I told you prior to this show, I told you that I like what Hannity did, okay,
yeah,
when he had Donald Trump on,
chances,
because he did
right.
put him in the hot seat. And I'm not a fan of Sean Hannity at all. But he kept coming with him. He was like, well, wait a minute, Mr. President. He called him Mr. President every time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say former, Mr. President, right? And he kept driving at him about these questions about these dictator-type leaders.
Right.
And Donald Trump couldn't say nothing negative about them, not one word. He said, well, I know them. I've known them for a while. I don't think it would have happened if I was still in office. If I was still president, they wouldn't have done it. I've known them for a while. We were good friends. Yeah, but with this war that happened, he never said yes or no. He kept talking about the missiles and other military that we've given certain countries and everything. He kept going into that. Mm-hmm. But still, and again, and I want to let everybody else chime in because we're going to switch gears in a moment, but here's the problem I have with Donald Trump. Tell people what Donald Trump want his followers to do now, Janet. What did he want them to do then?
He had some kind of issue with his Trump Force One plane, and he wants the fans to pay cash for him another Trump Force One, I guess Trump Force Two airplane, jet. You know, like somebody's just going to give him.
Hold on. This is Donald Trump, right?
Yep.
Before he became president, he was supposedly a billionaire. We thought in the millions,
right.
But understand we're in the billions. We never knew anything about how much he's really worth because he did not want to release that information, right?
Correct.
Okay. Right. Now, granted, according to what they claim, he never took the pay or the pay that he got as being president. He donated that. That's what we've been told. I have not seen any proof of that being true, you know, but we're talking about Donald
mm-hmm.
Trump here. He's the president. He can put that money wherever he wants to as a president. But this is what he said. I will not even let you pay me to be your president. Okay, so where are you going to put the money? Where's the proof that the money went there? That's what I'm wondering, too, in the 4 years that you were there. Where's the receipts to show? Oh, here's a donation from the President of the United States. To who? To what organization? I haven't heard anything being shared about that yet. And if anybody can do that, please do it now. I mean, saying one thing and doing it is a different thing, right? So, but now you're telling me, Janet, that you're seeing a where he's asking his supporters to pay for a new plane. This million or maybe billionaire.
Mm-hmm. He wants them to pay cash for one.
Oh, I'm sorry, pay cash for.
Jet.
Let me get Time and Ship to chime in on this one. What do you think about that? If you were a Trump supporter, would you pay cash for a new plane? I'm sure I know what your answer would be, but
no.
Okay. Even if you were, no, I'm saying, I have to make it that way of like, if you were a supporter, which I know you're not, but how stupid would you have to be, I mean, being a Trump supporter to go ahead and give him the money for a new plane, and this is a guy who's supposed to be a millionaire,
Mike, they're already giving him money. They're giving him
mm-hmm.
so much money, and there ain't no planes even around. They've been paying
That's right.
They've been paying all the legal bills.
R&D.
They're paying all his legal bills. He's
yep.
taking
R&D.
That money and paying everything because he knows what's coming. What the commission has found out, the commission
mm-hmm.
has already dug up enough stuff on him. that he can cancel Christmas. Now, he may not go to jail, but I can guarantee you this. What they want is to make sure he never runs for office.
Office again, right. Here's the thing that I want anybody that's on the board, trust me, you can chime in. You can interject. Okay, I'm not that type of guy to be like, you know, you can't speak up. You can speak up, and I will definitely open up the microphone for you. Your mics are open during this conversation. We have more topics that we're going to talk about. But here's what I'm trying to understand. Here you are living in rural America. You are a diehard Donald Trump supporter. You believed in this man. You voted for this man because he's a businessman. America should be run by a businessman. So you voted for a businessman. That's what you did. You watched the TV show. Hold on. You watched the TV show, you know, and all that shit. Then he became president and everything. You saw what happened. His history came about. And then some folks want to make it like, well, his past should not have nothing to do with what he's doing now. No, your past has a lot to do with what happens now. It's called character. Your character is at question here. You follow what I'm saying? Your character.
Mm-hmm.
If you show your character as president of what you're doing as prior to being the president or being the president, and if it comes up, we have to question that. You're going to do it to any normal, everyday citizen in a court of law. Shit, when a guy goes to court, the judge looks at what? Your past. Am I right or wrong? You're damn right they do. Your character. Your past crimes. In order to make a decision on your penalty. Nobody is above the freaking law, from president down. And there's a lot of folks I've talked to that I work with be like, well, you know, his personal life shouldn't have nothing to do with him running the country. No, your personal life has everything to do with running the country because it tells us about your character, the individual that you are. Now he's back. He's going to support the people he wants to in the Republican Party. That's what he's doing now. He's trying to gain ground, right?
Amen.
Trust me, this is not the end of Donald Trump. It's not. Do you notice many of the Republicans who supported him are very silent now? They ain't saying shit. They ain't saying
because
nothing.
They know, Mike. They know that the commission is getting close. Right? Merrick Garland has enough to indict him.
That's right.
They're trying to set it in for criminal deal. That's why you ain't. You know, they're just taking their time. Okay, they've already put some of these people in jail.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I mean, so Trump is trying to, he can't block anything anymore. All right? There's nobody you can go to, Supreme Court. They're not going to block anything. It's all going to play out. So you might as well get your popcorn and
right.
see where it goes.
But
you may not go to
Garland,
but
since you mentioned Garland, Jim, pull that one up. I'm going to pick up on
that. Well, that's basically what Tommy was saying. Garland already, well, I'll pull it up, but he said that anybody who had anything to do
But I want you to pull it up. I want you to pull it up if you don't mind. Pull it up, and I want you to read what you shared with me, to share with everybody of what Garland said, okay, just a short segment of it. Just get a gist of the situation, okay? And I'm trying to pull it up on my end. Everything is kind of like going a little south on my end with my equipment, but thank God I have to show up. but I'm not getting the information up.
Chrome disease. Hispanic pay, DeSantis. Trump will be charged. Okay, I got it.
Okay, go ahead and give us a little statement of that.
Okay. Well, this guy, Trump will be charged. This is from U.S. Today. Trump will be charged, Kushner concludes, after A.G. Garland's remarks, because he made the remark. Former U.S. Army prosecutor Glenn Kushner concluded that former President Donald Trump will be charged in connection with the January 6, 2021, not at the U.S. Capitol, and the effort to overturn the 2020 election results after new remarks from the Attorney General Merrick Garland. It says hundreds of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol after the then president at the nearby rally urged them to march through the federal legislative building and fight like hell. More than 780 of Trump supporters have been indicted for their actions that day, with some saying in court that they believe they were carrying out Trump's orders. Kushner,
now, hold on. 780? 780 people have been indicted? Hold on a minute. I have to take a breath here. Because there's a handful of folks who say that was not the case. There's a lot of folks who said that never existed. There's folks who say, well, it's the people's house. The people's house have a right to go into the people's house. Come on now. You know what? Look, we vote for government. We vote for our congressmen. We vote for our mayors. We vote for everything here in this country, right? But there's a limitation. Some folks want to say, well, that's our house. You know, we have the right to go in there anytime we want to. No, you don't. There's a thing called limitation. And there's an individual, and I wish his ass would call in. But, see, he don't want to deal with us. See, he wants to come on us to come on his show with his fucking followers and shit, you know. And he knows who the fuck I'm talking about. He's probably listening right now. Because I know he is. If he ain't listening now, he'll listen to a rebroadcast and then try to back me in a corner or us in a corner. But it's like, come on, man. You can't say that just because this is the United States government, you can just go up to the United States Capitol and just storm the building because you're not happy with an election. Which some people think that is still stolen. But still, and again, the vice president of the Republican Party did not take the orders of the president at the time to claim it was stolen or take the votes back, right, or reject the votes, I'm sorry. He let the process go. He let it go. That's the thing you have to understand. That's the thing that people who are ignorant to the fact of where here you got Mike Pence, a Republican vice president. Had he felt the same way as Donald Trump and believed wholeheartedly that was the situation, he would have done what Donald Trump wanted him to do.
That's right.
And this is a religious man, allegedly, according to what his, you know, the way he speaks. He believes in, you know, he's a religious man. Had he believed it was wrong, he would have said it was wrong. He would have said no. And Donald Trump knew he wasn't going to do that. They tried to convince him to do it. And then what did the folks at the Capitol do? We already know the history. It's in the books already. Hang Mike Pence. Hang Mike Pence. Hang, kill the person that you agreed to be your vice president when Donald Trump became president. You want to kill him now? Shows you the ignorance. shows you the ignorance. I mean, think about it. I'm not perfect, but I do understand ignorance. I do understand when people are being fed the wrong message and don't really understand what they're doing. The young lady who was shot and killed there, that was ignorance on her part. People say that the death of Breonna Taylor, someone said that a few weeks ago. You do remember, Janet, it was Bring It Boy.
Yeah.
I did not want to get into that conversation because we had a special guest coming on when he posted that. And I've invited Bring It Boy to come back on because I definitely want him to explain to me how is Breonna Taylor at fault for her being murdered. And no one is being prosecuted for her murder. Nobody. But when you talk about the woman who got killed in the insurrection, she was breaking the freaking law.
Mm-hmm.
She was warned. Do not. You're breaking and entering first. That's the first crime that you committed. You're breaking glass and you're entering an area that you're told you cannot enter. You broke three laws right there.
She was shot trying to climb through the window.
Right. First, breaking, entering. And, hey, that officer don't know if you have a gun on you or not. Well, that's what we hear in a lot of cases now. I don't know if she had a weapon or not. I just fired because she is trespassing also. She didn't have a weapon. Okay? He didn't know that. And that's the crazy thing about it. When you're dealing in different situations, different locations, this man is trying to protect lawmakers. And once you get into, this is the lawmaker's what? House. It's like breaking into anybody else's regular house. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope everybody understands my point because I'm going to shift gears in a moment because we're at the 6:52 hour. We almost have an hour and 45 minutes left. But you understand my point is that where when people try to compare that with everyday life of folks dealing with those type of things, you can't compare them. You already know. You already knew. You can't just go into government property where individuals who are lawmakers and think that you can just barnstorm where they're making a decision of who's going to be the president of the United States or not. You just can't do that. And when they put up, nope, you can't do it, but you force your way into it, you're breaking the freaking law. And people are trying to tell me, well, they got the right to do it. No, you don't.
Mm-mm.
You don't have the fucking right to do that when you're already warned. I mean, the thing is that where even in local government, I have the right to go into any local government, all right, building where I have access as a public, as being a individual, you know, that lives in that city or town. Anything that is accessible to the public, I can walk in there with a camera. You see these shows or these internet type things. The folks go in there and with their camera. If it's public access, you can videotape in the public assets. You can do that. But if it's plainly states that you can't, then you can't. You can go into the vestibule and record whatever you want to. Why the hell would you have flags and all kinds of plaques of individuals who died in the line of fire on display if you didn't want people to see it and share it? But when it goes into the courtrooms and everything, no, you have to have, you know, you have to be able to have the right, or I won't say the right, you have to have permission to do so. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that. But when it comes to the capital of the United States, and at that time when it had it on lockdown, prior to this, they didn't lock it down before that shit that happened with Donald Trump and his rally. They had it locked down beforehand and said, the Capitol is shut now. The Capitol has been shut down for many of reasons. When they're remodeling or fixing anything, this particular day it was shut down. I know a person who said, it's the people's house. They can go there anytime. No, you can't. I want to say this last thing. I want to say this last thing. You said, we pay the taxes. We should have the right to go what we pay for. Let me tell you this for that individual. We pay taxes for the highways. Doesn't give you the right to drive 150 miles per hour, right? There's laws. There's rules. There's limitations. You pay for the highways, but you're limited how fast you can drive on. You pay for that building. You pay for the individuals who run the government. But there's limitations of what you can do. You can't overrule that. Let me go ahead and open up some microphones. And I'm sorry, I'm going to stop chatting. But what do you guys think? Let me let Officer Crenshaw chime in. Crenshaw,
well,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. That's a lot to chew on. I mean,
right.
Them going into the Capitol, I mean, you got to look at the Capitol as if the White House is the main house, the bedrooms and the kitchen, and the Capitol is the living room where you entertain your people. So they don't have a right to go up into your living room and do whatever they want to do. That's how you got to look at it. When they started, when they violently started coming through, I commend the Capitol Police because I would have been popping them off at the first sign of glass breakage. You know, mm-hmm. You're forcing your way up in. You're forcing your way in. And I don't know what you got, what your intentions are, bombs, guns, shotguns, I don't know. Now, as far as Trump and all of that, you know, best friends with Putin. Well, I don't even call him Putin no more. What is his name? Vladimir Putin?
Putin.
Yeah. Well, it's glad to be shitting is what his name is now. It's not even Vladimir Putin. It's glad to be shitting all over other people. That's his new name from now on. He's a genius, though. And so is Trump. And I say that because most geniuses are deranged, demented, serial killer people. If you look up history, a large majority of them that had three-digit IQs were demented. They were serial killers. And
mm-hmm.
That's exactly what him is. All he's doing right now is playing Trump's cards that Trump had to fold on. When he lost the election.
I don't
want to
call them geniuses, but I don't want to call them geniuses, but you're right. They're on the verge of it because here's the thing. They're both very well educated. That's the thing that people don't understand. They're very well educated. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to call them.
When I say genius, it's because they probably have a three-digit IQ. And that they're so smart that they're stupid because they feel like they can get away with everything by genius. Not brilliant genius, but just genius, demented genius.
Mm-hmm. Right, I follow you on that. Yeah, because, you know, to be honest with me, we have to keep in mind these are not individuals who just were from the streets and everything, you know. They went through the ranks. If you guys follow And there's a lot of folks who just now understands what's going on with this war. You know, there's a lot of young folks who have no clue. Vladimir Putin is a very educated and well-versed individual. He speaks English. Every time you see him, you hear him speak Russian, but he can speak English. He was educated. He was part of KGB, the worst law enforcement in the world at that time. This guy wants to run Russia for the rest of his life. And basically,
I wouldn't be surprised if after Trump left, he opened a line of communications with Glad to be shitting, you know, and basically told him, now it's time for you to do what, you know, you discussed or what we discussed. Now is the perfect time.
Right. Because now that Donald Trump is not the president anymore, well, Donald Trump can do whatever he wants to and not be underneath the spotlight. Notice you don't really hear much from him recently.
To make Biden look weak, knowing that he just can't run in there, is to make Biden look weak so that his supporters, Trump supporters, will want him back in there even more so.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Let me see if anybody else has any comment on that, what Officer Crenshaw just said. That's a good point. Let the cookie crumble. It's basically what we're looking at, and that is the Biden cookie crumble. And then Donald Trump all of a sudden pops up and says what he has to say and everything, get more support or keep his supporters. As Janet said, now he's asking for money to pay for a pool, which probably will get him to, which you know he's going to be doing some tours for different Republicans, okay, throughout the United States to get them in office. I want to ask Timon on that. What do you think this whole game is about?
Well, Putin, clearly he doesn't want them joining. He's already been asked, could he join up with NATO, okay? That's why he's asking Poland and the United States, I'm talking about Ukraine, to send planes. But they said, look, we got even something even better for you. We ain't going to send you planes. We're not trying to start World War III. We're going to send you all the other stuff that you need to beat them, because they're going to beat them with guerrilla warfare. Unless, even if, you know, homeboy might go to a chemical. And what he wants from over there, he wants old Russia back. It ain't going to happen. They've been independent too long. And and homeboy Putin reneged on the deal that was cut with Ukraine for them to be independent. He reneged on the deal. That's why Ukraine gave up all of their nuclear weapons. They gave them up because they said, hey, if you want to be a part of this, either getting in NATO, you want to be independent, and you want our help, first thing you need to do, give up any type of nuclear weapons. They gave them up, you know.
Right.
And then this dude decides that he's going to turn on everybody. China already gotten Putin doing it. I mean, you know, this is a risky game he's going to play, because now you're forgetting. Once, you know, everybody's, oh, man, you know, he ain't going to do nothing. You know, Biden ain't going to do it. No. When they look, you forget, we are globalized. We are a globalization world. So everybody's connected. So when somebody decides to screw over somebody, we shut your shit down. And we're going to hit you in your pocket. We're not going to shoot no bombs, because let me tell you something. If anybody drop one nuclear weapon, the whole, you can cancel Christmas, the whole world is gone, because that radiation will travel. If you saw what happened in Japan with that, and you saw all that nuclear crap came all the way to L.A. with that, you do not want anybody to drop a bomb, because ain't nobody going to make it. Only those who are prepared, but ain't nothing going to be left if they do. So ain't no bombs going to be dropped. Some people say, oh, I don't believe that shit. I said, he's not going to do it. Hell, if that was the case, China would have did it. And China got more people. Nobody wants a bomb Everybody like eating and going places and doing things. But he screwed himself. And he put himself in a position that where you're going to even, you're going to hurt yourself even more. They want to get rid of guys like Putin. Taylor shit's got to go.
So, right. And the thing is, they were, you know, and I definitely agree with you because, I mean, the world constantly changed. Things changed in the world. You know, what used to be popular, it's not popular anymore. And as the world learns from each other, thank God, to be honest, for internet, where we can share from one country to another. You know what I'm saying? People from other countries can see what's going on in the United States and vice versa. And it's sad that we're a few individuals determine the life of others, of millions. You follow me? This whole thing is killing children due to one individual's perspective of what that country should be. We talked about this earlier last week briefly. And I've said that it's just amazing to me where one individual in a dictatorship-type country, and someone said that people in Russia don't even know that we're even fighting Ukraine. I'm like, you out of your damn mind. Yes, they know. But they can't speak against it. Just like in China, they can't speak against it. Remember Tiananmen Square. Remember when they were trying to fight democracy and what happened? It was brother among brother fighting against each other. You were about to say something, and once you finish, I'm going to go ahead and take a music break, and we'll come back, and we're going to change gears. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, some of the people in Russia do, I mean, some of them really don't know, because Putin shut down all the information and everything. But I wanted to just reiterate on something. Ukraine, and because of all the nuclear missiles and everything that were left in Ukraine at one time was the third largest when it came to nuclear weapons, and they gave them up, like you said, with the deal that Russia and the United States would, like, I guess, protect them in so many ways. So they gave up that, you know, that of having that, you know. I just feel they should still be, even though Putin went back on their part as far as Russia, I still think we should in some way continue backing them, even if we can't do it with flying planes and dropping bombs, you know, but still giving them the equipment and the funding that they need to, you know, still go on with this war. But they were at one time the third largest in the world.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take a music break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about a couple of other topics that is right here at home, which Janet, you and I talked about. Going to talk about an officer who has no jail time. Not going to be on the list of an individual who raped a 14-year-old. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to go ahead and let Timon say the name. Timon, who are we going to talk about that's going to do 150 days? Timon, you there?
Me?
I said Timon.
Oh, that's not about Timon.
Timon, are you there? Okay, it's going to be Jesse Smollett. I'm sorry. But we're going to talk about that after we take this quick music break. We'll be right back. And I want to chime in real quick and just as fast as we can, because the time is now 7:10 p.m. on the East Coast. I believe that would be, 4 p.m., 4:10 p.m. on the West Coast. We'll be right back. Here's cartoons.
Listen. It's gonna be one of those nights. I think we're gonna have some fun. Just come and go with me somewhere where you will be my only one. Ooh, it's gonna be a beautiful thing. It's gonna be like your dreams. Let's make this a night you remember. It ain't over till the fat girl sings. You can put some rings on, get your makeup and your hair done, slip that sexy dress on, and make our tunes repeat the song. You can paint your nails too, but don't forget your dancing shoes. Can't wait to get you in my car, well you know I'm gonna rock you. When we step up in the club, and everybody's staring at you, I know I got your attention, cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit. To be VIP, you can sit and have a drink with me. The conversation's good, we laughing on the dance floor to the beat. Baby girl, let me take your hand, turn around, let me see you dance. Your booty so sweet, you touching on me is more than I can stand. I love it when you get too on, I'm feeling like I'm on one. We can put these drinks down and make the DJ play your song. Cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit. 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 And I'm wearing it just for you. So hard till you make me sweat. Play with my feelings, take control of me. Till I don't even know what's coming over me. I got to know what's going on, baby, after the club. Don't be shy, don't be acting cute. Help me with a sign on my black suit. Let me step up in the club.
This is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
All right. Broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, I thought I had myself on mute. But broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, you're listening to the TMGS, The Michael Gay Show, with my co-host, Janet Davis, Officer Clinton, Cotton, Casey Campbell, and also Timon. Mike, you've got to start some shit. Shit. All right. Hey, you guys, welcome back. And we're going to change gears here. And anyway, the first track I played, or better yet, I should say, that was Cheryl Cooley from Climax. That was the song that you just heard was Black Suit by Ellison Kendrick. And Ellison will be our special guest once again next Saturday, March the 19th. That's my celebration weekend. Ellison Kendrick will be our special guest March the 19th here on the TMGS. So hopefully that you'll all tune in and we'll have a great conversation and great music. So let's shift the gears real quick. And I don't want to talk about – no, you know, I have to do this. I have to do this now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This case has gone on for a while. A lot of stuff that has been involved in this case. But just the other day, Jussie Smollett was sentenced. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys saw the sentencing of Jussie, but this judge here was so smooth how he did it. I'm going to tell you how. He told Jussie, well, you got to pay this, you got to pay that. You're going to be on probation for this and that and the other. You got to do this and that. Then also the judge went, and you're going to do 150 days in jail. And Jussie's expression just, hey, look, hold on. Somebody has noise in the background. Please put yourself on mute or stop the noise. I don't know if you're flushing your toilet. We don't want to hear that. But something is in the background. Please make the noise. But the judge did the smoothest move. He said all the stuff of where time served on this, you're going to do probation, you got to pay this amount of money. And the last thing he said, but you're going to do 150 days in jail. Now, 150 days is a little shy of 6 months. And he's going to serve this time in Cook County Jail. You don't know what Cook County Jail is. That's in Chicago. It's featured in many movies and documentaries. It's not the greatest. It's not a prison now. This is a county jail, one of the worst in the United States. Jussie, as he was leaving out, said, quote, I'm not suicidal. He kept saying that over and over again. And someone posted, which was a guest on our show, Janet. In fact, it was Penny Ford, you know, her, the recording artist. She posted on her page. Why did he keep saying that? Because concern when you look at the Sandra Bland case, of individuals who go to jail wind up dead. But first, I want to go ahead and get to timing. Timing, what did you think about this plea deal and the fact he got 150 days? And just in general, your thoughts about this case.
Now, Mike, I want to let you know I'm driving right now, so I'm in my car.
Okay.
I'm on the freeway.
Okay.
What Jussie got, he should have got worse because what he did was wrong, okay?
Sure.
Because, you know, manpower, and when somebody really needs help, especially in Chicago, they don't want, especially, you know, when something truly is going on, you know, and Officer Crenshaw, he know this, you know, you want to go where you're needed. And I guarantee you, when this thing first went down, I said that the investigators, the dudes, the detectives who are going to investigate this, these are going to be the best that Chicago has. And these guys have been around for a good 15, 20 years. So they can smell a rat when they smell a rat, okay? And so when they went, they interviewed him, they talked to him, and even the judge told him, because I watched it, the judge told him, say, hey, we gave you an opportunity to come clean, to apologize. He perjured himself. Okay, you got the two black dudes who gave you a full rundown and went down. What went down? You even had the sister, the one sister who was the first prosecutor, she going to lose her job. Okay? Because she covered that crap up like that Ahmaud Arbery chick did for Ahmaud Arbery. Same thing.
Right. We got to follow up on that. Right. Yep. Well, they both did.
So
we have to follow that, too.
Now you're getting ready. He got 150 days. He's not going to do all the 150 days. He told you he was suicidal because in case he commits suicide, all right, he'll say it'll be on them and it's the reason why he committed suicide. That's bullshit. All right? Bruh, you did something wrong. And the judge called him what? Arrogant and narcissistic. He was making $2 million a year, Mike. He was not no broke-ass nigga. And he's now trying to file all this power to the people crap. Somebody, he's a black power this, and look what they're doing to me and the man. You lying. All black people knew you was lying. So he's a joke, man. I think he's going to do his time, and he's going to pay his fines, and he needs to just need to shut up. But he ruined his career.
Okay, so let me move on. I appreciate that. Right, and you're right. Right, so let me go ahead and move over to Cotton Campbell. And I believe Lady Justice is on the line. I want to get the lady's point of view. Then I definitely want to get Janet, Lady of the House, and, of course, Officer Crenshaw. Cotton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Lady Justice on the line to you?
Just say, I'm going to disagree with what Simon said, and let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because we got women out here who are falsely accusing men of rape that don't spend no time in jail. But these men end up with records, unless they do expungements. Secondly, the only person that Jesse really hurt was himself. Chicago police did not have to go after him, but they chose to spend time and money on chasing after this man's story. They could have done like they do so many real stories and said, you know what, we're not investigating that. You're lying, bull crap, move on. If they come back, then call us. Like they do so many women that have been raped, murdered, and killed by somebody with a protective order. If he comes back, here's the protective order, show it. And if he doesn't leave, then call us. But then by then it's too late because they're dead. So the fact that they chose to spend the time and money on him, it was something they wanted to do because he was a celebrity. If he hadn't been a celebrity, they would have moved on from him, and this wouldn't even be a story. They spent 2 years on investigating this stupid story, whether he's telling the truth or not. I don't even care. The fact that you put so in, because around that same time, there were several black women that came up missing that they did not put this much energy into at that time. That's where you should have spent your time, not chasing this. If you thought he was lying, then why would you continue to investigate it? You didn't have to, but you chose to. The police department chooses what they will and will not investigate. And these women that had got murdered around that time, they still don't know who murdered them. They still don't know how they came up missing. They still don't know how they came up dead. So Jesse Smollett's story should have been brushed under the rug, moved on to something more serious. Because there are people out there that have actually been murdered by somebody, and you still ain't figured out who did it. But here he is, we still talking about Jesse Smollett 2 years later.
Okay, that's a good point. I want to go ahead and move around. Lady Justice, are you here on the board? Cotton, find out if she's there. Well, I don't know. I'm seeing numbers on the board. I'm not sure who is
no,
who.
No, she's here. She's there.
If you have a question, comment, make sure you hit the number one so I can open up your mic. Anyone who has
I'm
a
here.
Question or comment. Okay, you're here. Okay, so you heard the comments from co-host Timon. You heard what co-host Cotton said. But I want to hear what your thoughts are about this verdict for Jesse Smollett. Is it right? And what Cotton's comment was about where all the other things that are going on, why are we paying attention to a celebrity? But it's still, it's still law. You know, you break the law. Are we being, I want you to go ahead and share your thoughts about the whole thing. I'm not trying to put anything in your mind, but the things that we're looking at a celebrity who lied to law enforcement. That's what he's being convicted for. He's been sentenced 150 days. But we got other folks who do less time for lying. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, my thought would be everybody does a lot of lying. That's the reason the system is so corrupt right now, because everybody does a lot of lying. No, everybody wants the truth, but nobody wants to face the facts. the fact of the matter in this case is he is a celebrity, yes. He did lie, yes. But I kind of agree with what Cotton was saying. We put a lot of energy in the wrong places. I mean, they could have handled this different. I know people that have probably done more and got less.
We'll
so
get
for
to
me,
that,
this is a
ahead.
Lot of energy. I'll give you a good example. Let's take the person that murdered my mother, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He was a convicted serial killer already before he even got introduced to my mother, and he was let go after
mm-hmm.
after seven years of murdering people. Even when people came to visit him, he attempted to kill them. So it just the things that happened just don't match up. We allow things to go on because we like drama. We like drama. I don't know any other way to put it, because that's drama.
Well,
he lied. Okay.
Well,
the president lied. The vice president lied. Everybody lies.
Can I intervene just for a moment? And I want you to continue, because the only thing I want to say is that you're 1,000% right. We're a society that likes make believe. And drama. That's what we are now. I see that every day.
Yep.
When I say make believe, we go out and we buy Nintendos, we buy PlayStation, everything, and those are games that are make believe. Make believe you can destroy a whole army by yourself, right? It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Drama. All the TV shows that you look at are drama. The housewives of this, that, and the other. Everything. Reality shows. These are not reality. These are scripted shows of individuals' lives, and we actually follow, not me, but people actually follow these individuals, you know, of their lives, which is pretty much scripted, and believe it's reality. That's the ignorance of the human psyche. That's our entertainment. For me, personally, when I watch television, I do watch court TV. You know why? Because that's a real court case. That's not
scripted. I'm going to learn something.
That's real court. I've shared with many times, and you guys have heard me say it, and Janet Davis, I want you to chime in after Lady Justice finishes what she was going to say. But I have shared before on the show, there's been times I would just go to a courthouse and go into a courtroom, because I have the right to go into a courtroom. And you do too. And sit down and listen to a case. And I've walked into a courtroom not knowing what the case is about and sat there for hours and listen and watch. And I really recommend to everybody, try it once. You'd be amazed. Because that's real life. That's reality. I watched a case where three people were shot, killed. One kid who was, 5 year old? He was a 5 year old at the time. And when the case finally came up, he was 7. And I watched when they called him into the courtroom, because he's not able to sit in there, right? They had to bring him in to testify. And I heard his testimony. And I'm like, wow, I'm in awe. This 7-year-old kid is sharing with the jury and the judge and the prosecution and the defense attorney what he remembers what happened on that day 2 years ago, and he was on point. Now, I wasn't there, but he made you believe what the hell he was saying, because it was like, yeah, it's like yesterday to me. And when he finished testifying, they escorted him right out that room, and he had the confidence of a grown-ass man. Because that changed his life. His mama got killed. And he's only 7. That's reality to me. But I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's what I'm saying. What do you think in these situations as far as justice? And like you were saying about the person who killed your mom, you don't feel like there was justice there, right?
That's
Are you there?
I don't. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. Yep, that's correct. I don't feel like there was justice. It was an injustice all the way around, because the justice for me would have been for him to never have been let out in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So when are we going to learn a lesson? And
that's
are we using?
I heard it. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are we using our human beings to control the population? Is that what that is? Is that a population spray?
Well, I just saw a story.
Is that how we control the population?
Well, I saw a story where an individual who had an issue, he was this individual who was very combative. It was documented how he was as a kid towards his parents. You know, he had to have some help and everything. Then he was committed a crime, did 7 years behind bars, and then after that they let him go, and then he wound up murdering 5 people. Five people. 2 different locations. 5 people. Let me go ahead and get Janet Davis in here, and then I'm going to get to Officer Crenshaw. Janet, what's your thoughts on this? Janet, are you there? Okay, well, can't hear Janet. I'm going to go ahead and go to Officer Crenshaw.
I was on mute.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I said I also agree with Cotton and Lady Justice when it comes to the police department and investigators spending all that time on a farce. You know, even though Jesse Smollett swears that the money he gave the African was for some herbal remedy or something, you know, for him. And, you know, and then for them to say that they wanted him to pay restitution of over $130,000, they shouldn't have even gone that far in that investigation. And I just also, when he said that he wasn't suicidal, I guess he was trying to remind everybody what happened, like you said, to Sandra Bland, because she wasn't suicidal, but, you know, she ended up being found dead in her cell, you know. So I just, you know, he lost his career over foolishness, you know. I don't know whether they were going to let him go on Empire or what was his reasoning behind it, but I think he just got greedy on wanting more money, even though you said he was making over $2 million a year. You know,
I think that Empire was canceled by that time when that case came about. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was already canceled and off air. Okay. But the thing is that, keep in mind, this young man was, prior to Empire, I mean, he can write, he can perform, I mean, he's a musician, he can sing, he can write music. I mean, pretty much everybody that you saw on that show what I'm going to say is this, everybody that you saw perform on that show as a regular, they weren't just actors, they were actual musicians, writers, producers, right? The one who played the baby brother on the show, he played in the New Edition story. He played as one of the characters in that, okay? So Jesse was, I mean, I don't know what was going to happen in his future. Empire ended. Like I said, he had so much talent. But what would make him do what he did? He was found guilty of it. Now, he claims he didn't do it. But you're found guilty. So that's what the record shows. Okay? That's what it shows. So I want to go ahead and throw the ball into Officer Crenshaw's court. What do you think about this?
Well, I'm going to start backwards. I think the comments about suicide was protected for himself, going to county jail, to where he'd be on a constant watch, to where, because county jail can be kind of rough. It's not the same as state or federal, but it still can be kind of rough. And at least that way he would have some type of protection and watch while he's in there.
Right.
But he said he wasn't suicidal.
Well, hold on. Let him finish real quick, because I understand what you're saying, Officer Crenshaw, because keep in mind, he is an openly gay individual. And for him to not be on the certain thing. So go ahead.
When he makes the comment, I'm not suicidal, okay, you hear suicide. Okay, you got to take in fact of all consideration. Is he saying he's suicidal? Is he saying he's not suicidal? So as a precaution, they're going to put a watch on him. That's what I'm saying. So he is constantly being watched to make sure he's not suicidal, even though he made the comment, I'm not suicidal. So it's kind of like protection for him while he's in there. Somebody's always watching him. But in case something does go to the left, as far as him being killed and saying it was suicide, he's already saying, I'm not suicidal. So it's just him being smart enough to know how to articulate his wording.
Exactly. And it's funny that you said that, but go ahead.
Now, as far as Timon, what Timon said, I agree. If he made it up, then he should accept responsibility for it. But I also agree with Lady Justice and Cotton, but I have to let them know that it's not the police department that's putting all that effort and energy into it. They don't want to investigate the frivolous crimes of that nature. They want to investigate the ones to where there are actual rapes and serial killers going on out there. These are the politicians above us that make the decisions, the mayors, the governors, that order the chief or the commissioner to further investigate that crime and spend all those man hours investigating that crime. So he should have to pay restitution for the man hours expended. Jail time, I can't see it unless somebody's life was at stake. They had a lady in South Carolina or North Carolina years back who claimed she was carjacked by a black guy and he drove off with her kids. They later found her kids in a river in the car to where she actually killed her kids.
Well, the one who claimed it was a black man who took her car.
Right.
I'm trying to think of her name, but I know who you're talking about. But go ahead.
Yeah. Making the false claims of a criminal act, there can be, you know, penalties of restitution, fines. If you spend a lot of man hours searching for a child that really wasn't kidnapped or something of that nature. You know, in this case, make him pay for the expended man hours. You know, going to jail. Mm-hmm. Who got hurt? Nobody but him and his reputation. So he shouldn't have to go to jail. But because the mayor of Chicago didn't want Chicago to look bad and have that stigma floating over them, they ordered the police department to investigate it to its full extent. So they had to expend man hours investigating that when they could have been investigating something else. I also want to say to Lady Justice, you know, I'm sorry to hear about the situation with your mother. You know, if the politicians would focus more on the true crimes and not the crimes that's going to put a rainbow or anything else, a halo over their head, then justice might prevail. But when they're only looking in the mirror at themselves and how they dress, and who's around them, they're not looking at the people that they're really supposed to be serving. And that includes the judges and everybody else.
Okay, so I have only 47 minutes of airtime here. I want to go ahead and throw this in here and see how much we can get out of this. And if we can, come back next week and touch on it. Don't forget, next Saturday, March the 19th, we have special guest Ellison Kendrick joining us again. The new music, great fun. And, yes, it's a speckle. It's a speckle? Not speckle. But, yeah, it could be. Special weekend here on the TMGS. All right, so let me run this down to you. Former Tennessee deputy accused of raping 14-year-old strikes deal to avoid prison sex offender status. Brian Obeck, 47, pleaded guilty to aggravated assault and was sentenced to 3 years of supervised probation, court records show. A former sheriff's deputy in Tennessee accused of raping a 14-year-old girl struck a plea deal with prosecutors last week that keeps him out of prison and from having to register as a sex offender, his lawyer confirmed Monday. Brian Obeck, 47, was indicted by a grand jury in June of 2018 on charges of aggravated assault, rape, and sexual battery by an authority figure, according to court documents from Shelby County. He reached a deal with prosecutors on February 28th of this year, in which he pleaded guilty to felony aggravated assault. What's your thoughts about that? He raped a 14-year-old. They made a plea deal. He is not going to be registered as a sexual offender. He's a former officer.
Irregardless of his status, he should have had his balls smashed because she's 14 years old.
True.
Okay. Now, that's statutory rape. She's not able to give consent. He's a predator. They should not have allowed him to take a plea bargain on at least registering. Jail time, he's 47 years old. If I was that girl's father, I'd still be looking for his ass.
Well, so let me finish up a little bit more here so you get a better gist of the story. Court records show the terms of his sentence includes supervised probation for 3 years and a suspension of a 4-year prison sentence. Unless he violates the terms of his probation, his lawyer, Leslie Ballin, said Monday. Ballin confirmed that Beck was accused of raping a 14-year-old girl multiple times, not once, and that his guilty plea means he does not have to register as a sex offender. So pleading guilty means that you don't have to, that's according to that county. It doesn't mean every state, okay, you guys? So I don't want you to read it wrong. But let me go ahead and finish up most of this here. We have about 15 minutes for you guys to chime in on your thoughts. County court records show Judge Lee Coffey oversaw the case. Coffey could not be reached for comment Monday. Ballin said Beck has professed his innocence from the onset. He said Beck agreed to plead guilty to a lesser felony than rape because he didn't want to leave his fate up to a jury. Quote, this was a best interest plea, Ballin said. He decided that he didn't want to take a chance to have 12 people decide the case. Mr. Beck maintained his innocence all the way through, even last Monday when the judge accepted his guilty plea. A representative for the Shelby County office, Sheriff's Office, said Monday that the agency hired Beck in October of 2004 and terminated him in August 2018. All right, so let me go back to that part. He agreed to this plea, right? Think about what I just said. He said Beck agreed to the plea of guilty to a lesser felony than rape because he didn't want to leave his faith up to a jury. He didn't want 12 people to determine whether he go to prison or not. He left it up to a judge.
because the judge is going to make that determination based on what plea agreement was brought. Now, who can you sway more, one person or 10? Mm-hmm.
But, Mike, how did they come up with aggravated assault for rape?
Mm-hmm. That's what, well, hold on. That's what the defense.
Some type of weapon. So if he used the weapon in the commission of that rape, it's rape, period. They can't drop it to a less aggravated assault. It would be aggravated battery. Aggravated sexual battery, but not assault.
I understand your point. That's why I'm bringing up the story, because I don't get how do you bring it down from rape to aggravated assault. Now, aggravated assault doesn't have to be necessarily a weapon per se. Aggravated assault could be, well, it doesn't have well, your hands can be, well, your hands can be a weapon.
No. That's simple assault. You're using some type of an item, weapon, whether it be a pencil, a spatula, you're using it as a weapon in some sense. That's the aggravated nature of that. Simple assault would be your hand, your finger, your foot. Aggravated means there was.
I do know for a fact where there's boxers who have punched the shit out of everyday citizens, and they were charged for aggravated assault. And so, because, see, keep in mind that a boxer's hands are registered as lethal weapons, right?
As weapons.
Yes, they are.
As weapons.
Right.
Registered as
so weapons. Your hands can be weapons. If Mike Tyson punched the shit out of me, that's a weapon. But if he didn't intend to kill me, that's aggravated assault, meaning he used a weapon, but he didn't try to kill me with that weapon. Do you follow me? He just punched the shit out of me. I'm not trying to get off base, but he was a police officer. I'm questioning the same thing as you, and that's why I brought up this conversation. How is it possible that he gets that type of charge for raping a 14-year-old girl? Now, according to one article that I read, that based on that, that the family went ahead and accepted that. I don't know. That doesn't say anything if there's any monetary thing involved in it. But here's the thing that got me. Judge Coffey. Okay. He's a black judge. Mhm. The defendant is a white officer. I'm not trying to put a racial thing in there, but it is kind of interesting. But it doesn't tell you.
It was a male judge.
It was the Judge Coffey is a black male judge. The defendant is a white police officer. It does not give you much information on the 14-year-old individual, whether she was black or white or whatever the case may be. But still and again, you look at, I mean, think about this. You look at a TV actor who lied, is going to do 150 days in freaking county jail, and praying that he can get out there and not be assaulted or killed or whatever he was trying to say. But here's a former police officer who gets a plea deal with no jail time and no registration as a sex offender whatsoever. What the fuck is going on with our judicial system is my question.
Well, the same thing would have happened in the Ahmaud Arbery case if things wouldn't have been pushed, because the father was a former officer and an investigator, former investigator for the DA's office. So the favoritism, did the judge know him? Had they worked together before?
Right.
Well, we already know that the district attorney at that time in the Ahmaud Arbery case, she's got her day, you know, in court. Even the one with Jussie Smollett, she's dealing with being accused of whatever her role played as far as dropping the case and everything. You know, it's just a boggles the mind of how so much is so corrupt. It's not just the cops. There's a lot of corruption in the courthouse. There's a lot of corruption and not just on the streets of officers, but in the courthouse and the judge. And pretty soon it's going to be a lot of corruption, which we're already seeing now, in the juries. The juries are becoming corrupt. Already have been, but it's starting to come to light even more. Look at the Peterson case, where the man who murdered his wife and his unborn child, and now they're going after a woman who was a juror, who was pregnant at the time and had a no trespass or whatever law against a person, you know, she had fear of. During the trial, or when they were picking the juror, there was a question, and she said no. She never had any issue with this, that, and the other, but it was going on with her. Just do the research on it. My whole thing is that we already know there's corruption in the police department now. We already know there's corruption in the judges. We already know there's corruption. We've been knowing with prosecutors and defense attorneys. Now we're going to start seeing more corruption in the juries. I believe that's going to happen. And so when will justice be justice here in America? And how can we believe the justice? Janet, before we get out of here, we only have like a couple of minutes left. You got something to say?
I just one thing. Well, the father of the victim said that this had been going on for over 5 years, and they felt his daughter needed some type of closure, and that's why they went along with this deal, just so that she could have closure. So 5 years later, so she's there now, 19, I guess, and, you know, they said it had just been dragged on for a long time. But I still think he should have gotten more time, something besides just aggravated assault.
But what gets me is that you said this dragged on. Dragged on in what way? Of them trying to get justice?
Yeah, back and forth, I guess, in court. That's what I was reading. They said for over 5 years.
Okay, so somebody did not want it to come to trial for 5 years. You know, and there is a thing called statute of limitation. Only thing that does not have a statute of limitation is murder. That's the only thing. There's no statute of limitation in murder, but anything else is pretty much up to 7 years, depending on the state. 7 years, okay, well, it's beyond statute of limitation. You really can't do much. And, of course, evidence goes away. Anything can disappear.
Right. So a speedy trial wasn't happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
Lady Justice, what do you think about that? The guy gets nothing. Is she still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you do all that and you get nothing. That's sending a clear message to somebody.
Right.
That's what I see.
Somebody
that's
planning on doing something.
Somebody.
That's planning on doing something wrong, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And or the next
I agree
person.
With you. Right. I agree with you. That's how come I want to bring this
that's
up
why,
because the thing
we,
is really
we
actually letting folks know that I can commit a crime and all I can do is the same damn thing that this person did.
No,
right.
That's it.
Black.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You hear what I said?
Well, look, you guys, we're down to 90 seconds of the show. I have to go ahead and get out of here. I truly appreciate you guys, and I love you with all my heart. Hey, for everyone that's been in the chat room, thank you for tuning in. All my co-hosts, Janet Davis, Cotton Campbell, of course, on the West Coast, Mr. Times and Ship, Officer Crenshaw, special guest call-in co-host, Lady Justice, thank you so much for joining us. As I said, Cotton Campbell and everybody else who listens in to the Team DS, make sure you tune in next Saturday for a very special show, very special guest, the one and only Mr. Ellison Kendrick will be joining us for a second time. We truly appreciate him. So without further ado, we're going to get in here. Make sure you enjoy the rest of your weekend. You've been tuning in to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, here on the TMGN Network. And as I try to find the closeout theme song here for the show, that's what I'm going to try to do. Okay? Thank you, guys. Love you. Good night.
Sure.